Today, we'll talk about tipping and cash you need on Disney World trips. That's coming up on this episode 96 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 96. I am so happy to be talking to you today about tipping and cash on Disney World trips because it's something I get asked about a lot. And that makes me very happy because that means that people are being very conscientious and trying to do the right thing during their trips. And so I just want to talk about that today so that you have an idea of what to prepare for your trip. And before we dive into that, as always, a reminder to connect on social media. You choose your favorite social media network and look at WW Prep School, and I'm probably there, and you can follow along. I'd love to chat with you. I spend lots of time every day conversing with people on various forms of social media, and you can be one of those as well if you have any questions or want to chat. Also, we are coming up on episode 100 in just a few more episodes, and I want to make it an episode full of tips. And if you have one that you'd like to contribute, please use the information in the show notes to call in your very own quick tip of the day. That is through an app called SpeakPipe, and you can use it on your phone. You can download SpeakPipe and then use the information in the show notes to connect you to my SpeakPipe page. Or you can use the microphone on your computer and connect to at the link in the show notes that way. And I will be putting all of those tips together for episode 100, which is coming up in about 4 weeks. So please contribute. I've been getting lots of them submitted, and so I'm excited about that. So make sure you get yours in before it's too late. And as always, at the end, I do have news. We have lots of it to go through today and a quick tip of the day. So let's dive into tipping and cash that you need on Disney World trips. Now, I know that when you book your trip, especially if you book a package, you already have your resort paid for, your park tickets paid for. Maybe you've gotten a dining plan added to your package. And so you feel like you've got everything under control and that maybe you only need cash for a few things. But you're right. But I want to make sure that you have enough cash ahead of time. We are, you know, like a lot of families, we do not use cash for hardly anything. So there's always that stop by the ATM before a trip to make sure that we've got enough cash to cover everything. And so hopefully today we'll give you an idea of how much cash you need and in which cases you'll need that compared to just being able to use a credit card. So the first thing that you should know is that you will need to tip for anybody who handles your luggage. And that can be at the airport, your departure or arrival airport. That could also be on a Magical Express bus. And that could also be bell services at your hotel. So let's go through all these scenarios. So when you go to the airport, you know, a lot of us wheel our own luggage up to the counter if we're going to check it. And in that case, tipping is not necessary. But if you have somebody take your bags for you, like at curbside check-in or something like that, you will need to have some cash to tip them. It's typical to tip $1 per bag, or if you have a particularly large bag, you might do $2. Curbside check will need cash because they're handling your bags for you at the airport. Once you get to Orlando, if you're flying, if you do not go to the carousel to get your bags and you allow Magical Express to deliver it to the hotel for you, you actually don't need to tip in that case because you will probably never see the delivery people. However, if you're like me and you want to get your own bags at the baggage carousel and then board the Magical Express bus, the staff on the Magical Express bus will have to take your bag from you and stow it under the bus during the trip. And then when you get to your resort, they will open up and get your bag out for you. Those people do need to be tipped. So ironically, the people having the luggage delivered at the hotel for them don't have to tip, but when you are seeing someone in person who is handling your bag, you do need to tip. And so on the Magical Express, we usually do tip a couple of dollars. You know, it's usually just two of us traveling, but if it was my whole family, it would be more like $5. And so those people do get a tip, and that's a cash they don't have credit cards or machines or anything like that. So you do need to have cash prepared for the people who are going to be handling your bags. Once you get to your hotel, if you have bell services help you take your bags to or from your room, then it's the same situation. You need to have cash at the rate of $1 to $2 per bag available to give those people. For instance, when we stayed at Caribbean Beach Resort, it was a little bit of a hike to get to the building where you have to check in and have all of your checked bags checked in at the airline desk. And so I called ahead for Bell Services, and they showed up with a van and they drove us down there. And so I tipped that person. They sometimes will show up with a golf cart to help you. And anytime you have people like that help you with your bags getting to or from, you need to have some cash to tip them based on how many bags you have. All right. So that covers luggage, and that is a cash tipping situation. Let's talk about dining. Now, in the United States, it is standard to tip about 18 to 20% per meal. It used to be 15 to 20, but now the standard is more like 18 to 20%. And this is standard at table service restaurants. So quick service restaurants don't have tipping, but table service restaurants do. And so you should do that at every meal, no matter what. If you are on the dining plan, you should be tipping 18 to 20% of what your meal would have cost if you were paying cash. And obviously, if you're not on the dining plan, you should add 18 to 20% if you are paying cash. So either way, 18 to 20% is what the server should be getting. If you have a group of six or more, Disney will add 18% automatically. And so there's no need to go beyond that unless you feel like you have particularly great service and you want to give them more than that. There are a few experiences where tipping is already included. The gratuity is already included with the price. And those are the dining experiences that require prepayment. And that includes Cinderella's Royal Table, Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, and the Spirit of Aloha Luau Show at the Polynesian. So those four things, when you book them, they do require prepayment, but it also does include gratuity. So you don't have to add that unless you just want to give them some additional beyond the 18%. For tipping on dining, you can use any form of payment that you want. And this question often comes up with people who are on the dining plan because they say, if I'm paying with credits for my food, then how do I tip? And your food, the meal itself will be used with credits, but you can always add tip and have it charged to your room. You can use a credit card. You can give them cash. It can be any form of payment that you want. But they will allow you to do that beyond just the credits. So anyway, that sort of covers the dining tip and how you pay. There are some other services at Disney World where tipping is probably common and expected. One of those is if you valet, then each time it's about $2 to $5 tip that's expected for the valet. And that includes when they take your car and return it. The other is mousekeeping, which is what Disney World calls their mousekeepers. And this is something that is a surprise to many people because a lot of people don't think of tipping the housekeepers. But it is a very common thing at Disney World to tip them. And this should be done at the rate of about a dollar per person per day. So for our family of four, if we travel together, you know, I might just do a $5 bill. And then the important thing about doing the tipping per day is that the crew will likely change throughout your trip. So if you tip just at the end, then that day's crew gets the entire tip. But if you do it every day, then the person responsible will get the funds that you have left for them. I do have these really cute mousekeeping envelopes on the site that I design. I just didn't like other ones that were available on the internet. And so I designed my own and they're really cute. They do require a lot of printer ink because they are full color, but they're really cute. And I'll link to those in the show notes. So if you want to do mousekeeping, you can print those at home, fold them up and insert your money ahead of time so that every day you can just leave it out without having to worry about looking for cash or you know, figuring out how to do that for every day of your trip. I'll admit that I sometimes forget this on trips, but I do think it's a good idea to do it and I recommend it for other people. You shouldn't necessarily expect anything extra when you leave a tip for MassKeeping, but sometimes it does mean that they'll do a little something, like, you know, maybe they'll do more towel animals or something like that. But it may or may not, there may or may not be a connection between your leaving a tip and them doing something special. But sometimes it does happen. Other situations where you might tip are salon services. So if you get a massage or something like that, then it's a standard salon tip of, you know, around 18 to 20%. And if you have a cruise where you book a boat, like say an Illuminations cruise or a Wishes cruise, then it is very standard to tip those boat drivers as well. Outside of the things I've mentioned, for the most part, tipping is not accepted. And in most cases, if you try to tip, they will say, we don't accept tips, but feel free to go leave a compliment at guest relations. And so, you know, if you can't tip, then there's always another way to do it. And those compliments go on their file and it does go to their managers and they often do get rewarded for that, but you just can't directly tip them. I actually do have thank you cards for cast members as well on the website. I just think it's fun to print off thank yous ahead of time and hand them out. It can make their day. You can personalize it to say, you know, from the Jones family or, you know, whatever it is. And that can really make their day. But I would encourage you to also go leave an official compliment that goes into their file so that they have that and it may, you know, help them in their job. So anyway, I don't know if this list is complete. There may be other situations I haven't thought of where tipping may or may not come up as a topic, but if you have additional situations at Disney World where you would suggest tips, then please comment on the post on the website so that we can all benefit from that information. But I've tried to cover most situations where tipping might come up. Now, in terms of cash needed outside of what I've already discussed, you likely will not need cash for very many things. There are probably a few kiosks where credit cards are not set up, you know, where maybe you can grab, you know, a snack or something like that. But almost everywhere at Disney World has the ability to accept credit cards or scan your Magic Band, you know, that kind of thing. So cash is really not needed for very many things, thankfully, because I find the Magic Bands to be very convenient to just put everything on that and pay at the end of your trip. So anyway, I hope that that's been helpful and that you can plan ahead for your trip. Let's start talking about news because a lot of different things happened this week. First of all, what happened this week was that 2016 packages were released on June 22nd. And with that always comes some changes and, you know, some different rules for the year compared to what we've become used to. So the first thing is that The packages have different things included. The miniature golf vouchers, there's now 4 vouchers that come with the package as opposed to 2, which has been standard in 2015 and previous years. Disney Quest is no longer part of that. You will not get those vouchers with 2016 packages. And there are some other adjustments. And I will include in the show notes information about the 2016 packages and 2015, because whenever I brought this up on the Facebook page, lots of people said, well, I'm going in 2015 and I have a package and I didn't even know there were things included. And so I want to make sure that if you are going in 2015, you know what to expect. But also for 2016, I will include more information in the show notes about what the packages include. But the Disney Quest and Miniature Golf changes are 2 of those. Another change for 2016 is that Art of Animation now has put the Finding Nemo suites into their own separate category. So previously at Art of Animation, you had Little Mermaid standard rooms and then suites. But Finding Nemo suites are more centrally located at the resort in terms of being near the main building. And also the Finding Nemo pool is quite popular. There's actually music that you can hear underwater. And so those suites must have booked up sooner than the other suites. And so Disney, as they often do, moved it into its own category. It's a few more dollars per night to book the Finding Nemo suites. And so that's new for 2016. For 2015, all the suites are in their own category. Another change was with regard to the Disney Dining Plan. Now, as of right now, the deluxe Disney dining plan, which has always included appetizers. The literature says there's no appetizers included, but I have heard that that was a mistake that will be corrected later. So we'll have to see how that goes. But as of right now, it no longer includes appetizers. There have been some price changes around the Disney dining plan, and I will include a link that will go to Mouth Savers that will show you what those prices are for 2016. But as expected, they always go up from year to year. And also regarding the dining plan, when you search for dining plan restaurants for the next year, it often reflects that there aren't that many included. And this happens every single year. And I assure you that the list of restaurants on the dining plan stays almost exactly the same from year to year. But the reason they don't show as being on the dining plan is that they haven't renewed their contracts. They just haven't worked out the details of it yet. They haven't signed it. And so Disney can't officially say it's going to be included. But I would just use the 2015 Disney dining plan list, and you can be fairly confident that that will be the list for 2016 as well. So if you're on the Disney World website and searching for restaurants, there are lots of options. And so instead of clicking the 2016 Disney dining plan option, I would just click the 2015 and work from there. Let's see, what else do we have in news? Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach refurbishments were announced, and that means that the water parks will be closed for a while Disney works on them. And this happens every single year, but this year it is notable for a couple of reasons. One is that Disney has previously said that Typhoon Lagoon would start a refurbishment on October 4th, which is early, and I think came as a surprise to a lot of people traveling in October because they thought, why is that going to be closed in early October? That seems awfully strange. And indeed, it is. So Disney has just changed the refurbishment information. And so now we have Blizzard Beach beginning at the end of October and going through early January. And then when it reopens, Typhoon Lagoon closes and goes through March. So those refurbishments are quite long. That's longer than normal. They're usually closed for, I think, a month each. And it begins in October. So it's just been a kind of a strange year for refurbishments. They must be doing more work than normal to those water parks. But you can get the exact dates for those on the monthly dashboard because I've added those refurbishments there. I will link to that in the show notes. Mears, which is the taxi service that is contracted to provide taxi rides at Disney World, has an app. And some people have told me, no, Mears has always had an app, but I think that Mears updated their app to be sort of more competitive with Uber. And so in the app, you can tell the taxi where you want it to pick you up, which is one of the perks of Uber, as opposed to just showing up where taxis normally are. You can have the app pick you up where you want to be picked up. And there's also an option in the app to schedule a taxi for later. So there's a button on there that says later, and you can schedule it in advance, which I find really handy because if you know you need a taxi early in the morning, you don't have to worry about getting up early in the morning and calling that. You can just schedule it the night before and the taxi will be there. Now, I did call Mears and ask them, what about car seats? Because I know that's a concern for a lot of people with little ones. And they said that if you call a taxi in the app, you can include the car seat request in the notes, and or you can give them a call to make sure that your request is going to be met. So when they show up, they will have that ready for you. That is one of the perks of using a taxi over an Uber, because Ubers do not have car seats in them. So if you need one, you can do that through Mears when you schedule a taxi. Another piece of news this week is that selfie sticks are now going to be completely banned at both Disney World and Disneyland. Now, previously they said that selfie sticks were banned on the rides, and now they're saying they are going to be completely banned in the parks, period. And this is a very popular decision, not only with me, but with lots of other people. Selfie sticks are just a hazard. You know, people whip those out right in the middle of walking through Disney World and they knock people in the head and they get in everyone's photos. And, you know, especially on the rides, they are a hazard because if you whip out a selfie stick, it can, you know, hit the walls on the rides. You know, it's a danger. And so now they have completely banned them. So don't even try to pack it because you won't get past security with your selfie stick. They are banned. You can ask the photographers in the parks to take pictures for you. So if you were planning on using a selfie stick because you wanted to be able to take a picture of yourself easily, just know that you can hand your camera to one of Disney's photographers and they'll be glad to use your camera to take a picture of you. And that's completely free and they're happy to do that. So anyway, that is a big announcement and I think one that will go over well with most people. Another bit of news this week is that Captain EO is coming back July 19th. Now, this came as a bit of a surprise to me because they have had other things in the Captain EO theater at Epcot, including the preview for Tomorrowland and the preview for Inside Out. And so I thought after the Inside Out preview was gone that they might be doing something else besides Captain EO. But apparently Captain EO is coming back as of July 19th. Finally, we have military salute tickets, which have been extended through December. And I know for military families that this is a big deal. There's actually resort discounts and lots of information. Steve from MilitaryDisneyTips.com has a lot of information about this. And so I will link to his post in the show notes. So if you're a military family, just know that a lot of those discounts have been extended through December. And hopefully you can take advantage of some of those. I think that wraps up the news section of the podcast. I do have a quick tip of the day, and that is that there is a Disney GIF app. So if you're like me, and I am saying GIF, by the way, the creator of the GIF says it's pronounced GIF. My son would argue that it should be pronounced GIF because it stands for graphical. Graphical something format, but anyway, I say GIF. And there is a Disney GIF app. So basically you download the app and then it comes preloaded with GIFs that you can then use if you are texting people or something like that. And I am all about a Disney GIF. And so this is very exciting news to me. And so I hope that you can take advantage. We should all just message each other and speak Disney GIFs forever. If we could only get the emojis to include Disney options as well, that would be fantastic. Incidentally, as a side note, somewhat related, on Facebook, if you are using the Facebook app on your phone, you can install stickers, and that allows you to reply to people with different, basically kind of like GIFs, and they do have an Inside Out sticker pack now. So if you're on your phone, you want to reply to people, you can use Inside Out animated images. They're not technically GIFs, but that's basically what they look like to talk to people on Facebook. But that's only on your phone. It doesn't work on your computer. But I've been using that myself and it's a lot of fun, especially when you love the movie as much as I did and many of you. It's been such a popular movie for Pixar. Anyway, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can read the show notes in the podcast app that you're using, or go to www.prepschool.com/episode 96. That is the number 96. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.